We're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And the purpose this passage is given to us, men and women, is to help the Christian be a better Christian. That's the idea here. It's to save us from shoddiness, from poor Christianity in a world that really needs ambassadors for God. In a world that needs people who are convicted, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so we come to this passage, and I pray as you work through it week by week, you will genuinely feel yourself being sanctified. That you will take these truths home week after week. You'll pray over this passage, and you will pray, Lord, I want to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit within. I need help. And I don't want to be stuck where I am. I don't want to be stationary. I don't want to be stagnant. I want to be Spirit-filled, and I want to see the work of sanctification go on. And that's where we're coming to the fruit of the Spirit these weeks. Now, this morning, we're coming to the fourth in this list, long-suffering. And the first thing I want to do then is give you a definition, really, of what long-suffering means. It really gives the idea of suffering long. Okay? Bearing long with perhaps someone's foolishness, someone's abruptness, someone's ignorance, someone's abrasive behavior. You know what it's like when you have a piece of sandpaper. Sandpaper is rough, and everything that it rubs against, it takes pieces off, and it's annoying and frustrating, abrasive. It's suffering long. The idea is burning long, like a fuse. Sometimes people will say, I've got a short fuse. Long suffering is the complete opposite. It's a long fuse, burning long before you explode. That's the idea. But even that isn't a great word, because you're not supposed to explode at all. So you don't have the word long burning. We have the phrase long suffering. Long suffering. So it's someone who's not rash and not quick to respond angrily to every offense that comes their way. It's someone who's not easily provoked. If I said to you this morning, the word could most accurately be translated as long-tempered. You might not fully understand what that means, being long-tempered, but if I showed you, or if I said to you, someone who is short-tempered, you know straight away what that means. We all know what short-temper is. Someone who will, at very short notice, blast into a fit of rage and anger, even at the slightest offense. It doesn't seem to take very much for them to go off the rail and go into this temper of red, fiery anger and blast in your face every word that comes to their head. You see, a short-tempered person is not Christ-like, not at all. There is no doubt that, and the Bible makes it very clear, anger isn't always bad. There's righteous anger. But that's not being short-tempered. The anger itself, you know when it's right and when it's wrong by what's motivated by. If your anger is motivated by selfishness, you know, your pride has been attacked, or someone you think isn't treating you the way you deserve to be treated, well, that's not a righteous anger, that's pride and a short temper. But someone who has an anger that's based upon maybe a good and godly motivation, they see sin and sin continuing, and that anger that they do have, it doesn't blast like a bomb. It's controlled. It's balanced. It's just. It brings a right and proper result, a just result. That's righteous anger. But someone who just goes into a fit of fury, that's not of God, and that's not in the Bible, and that's not, well, it shouldn't come forth from a Christian, that kind of behavior. Should not come forth from a Christian. You see, I find it interesting that many people boast about having a short temper. I have met plenty of men, and they will say with a big grin on their face, you know, oh, I've got a short fuse. Oh, me, I've just got a short temper, and nobody will step my toes. I tell you, I'll not beat round the bush. If somebody sends something wrong, I'll sort them out. I can't help it. I've just got a short temper, as if that's some kind of masculinity. It's not. A short temper is embarrassing. And I tell you why. It shows you're a fool. It's foolishness. And the Bible says that, and I'll come to that a little bit later on. A short temper is caused by being shallow. Someone who maybe is insecure. They can't really handle someone coming and addressing them in a way they're uncomfortable with, and they're insecure, and the only thing they can do is burst out in a rage. It's immaturity. It's the inability to handle frustration. You see, you just don't have the depth or the strength to deal with difficulties. You just go out of your mind and you burst into rage. It's the only thing you can do. Because you can't cope with much. A short temper is nothing to boast in. It's something to be embarrassed about. And more importantly, it's sin. It's sin. But someone who's long-suffering, a long-suffering individual will be mature. There's a depth of character there. Not shallow. They're sensible. They're wise. They're level-headed. They're the kind of person you want to have with you. You want them beside you. Isn't that right? But can I say, I said long-suffering is a sign of maturity and level-headedness and so on. It's a Christian grace. Now, you might think there's people out there who aren't even saved. And they might look to you as if they're long-suffering, but do not mistake long-suffering with laziness. Some people, you could say whatever you want to them, and they couldn't care less, because they're lazy. It may be because they're careless, and they've no drive in life, and they're lethargic and just careless. That's not long-suffering, that's a sin. Laziness and no drive and no desire, that's a sin. I didn't say that. I said long-suffering, which is able to suffer long, even though you have the ability to address that person. You could strip that person down and deal with them, but you choose not to because you're long-suffering, and you will bear long with people who are abrasive and arrogant and foolish. That's maturity. That's what I mean by long-suffering. Long-suffering is a Christian grace that God gives to someone when they're saved. And believer, if you're saved, you may have a little bit of long-suffering. And maybe it's far too little. You really need to cultivate it. You really need to nourish it. But long-suffering really flows abundantly from someone who is very much loving. They've cultivated that characteristic the Spirit of God gives. They're loving towards God. They love the Lord their God with their heart, soul, strength, and mind. And they love their neighbor as themselves. Someone who has this joy within their heart, and they know that they possess something of great value, salvation in Christ, and nothing can take that away. Someone who is at peace with God and peace with themselves and peace with their fellow men will find it easy to be long-suffering. That's fourth in the list. Love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, isn't it? Loving towards God and men. Joyful about your possession. Peace with God, self, and men. I tell you, long-suffering is something, believer, you'll want to cultivate. So, two things I want to leave with you this morning in regards to the subject of long-suffering. The first one is the beauty of long-suffering, because I want you to see it as a beautiful characteristic this morning, for it is, and then I want to see or show you the brutality of a short temper. That's the complete opposite there. Long-suffering. They're long-tempered as opposed to the brutality of a short temper. First of them, long-suffering. I want to say long-suffering is a beautiful thing, and it's a very desirable quality. Listen, if you were employed, what kind of employer would you want to have? An employer who's got a short temper? Of course you wouldn't. You'd want an employer who is long-suffering. When you make a mistake,
He won't blow off his head and be in fury and rage. No, he understands. Listen, we all make mistakes. And you have messed up. You've cost me money. You cost my business money. But I'm going to be patient with you. I'm long-suffering. What kind of spouse do you want? Do you want a spouse who on every occasion, on every occurrence will go absolutely insane every time you make a mess of things? No, you want someone who's long-suffering. Parents or children will want parents who are long-suffering. You'll want your friends to be friends who are long-suffering. The truth be told is, if you've got a short temper, you will find yourself having out far fewer friends. And not doing so well in business and everything else. Because a short temper is horrible. And it's ugly. And it shows weakness and immaturity. It's how you drive people away from you beyond any shadow of a doubt. Same with your neighbours. You want neighbours who are long-suffering. It's a quality, men and women, that we like to see in other people. But it's maybe a quality that we don't like to exercise ourselves. You want everybody else to be long-suffering, but we don't like to be long-suffering. Because it's far easier to let the flesh just boil and boil over and explode. That's the sinful nature that we have within, and we like it that way. And now we ought to be long-suffering. You'll agree with me, men and women, this morning. The word long-suffering is no better exemplified but in the life of Jesus Christ. If there's one word you'd want to pick for the Savior as he walked throughout this world, it would be long-suffering. He who was and is the King of all creation, he who has all power to do as he pleases to his creation, yet people were continually being abrasive to the Savior. Hackling and hassling and grieving and burdening to the point of taking him to be tried before all the Jews there. And it was a mock, stupid, daft trial. And then they took him before Pilate. And again, great corruption and sin. And they took him to the cross, having already beaten him and mistreated him and nailed him to Calvary. And what did Christ pray on the cross? Father, forgive them. There is no better demonstration of long-suffering outside of Jesus Christ. I want to be like Christ. And I want you to be like Christ. And I would love everybody to be like Christ. And this would be a far better church and a far better world. But we're not. We struggle with sin, don't we? We do battle. Our tempers flare. And we think it's okay. It is not okay. It's never okay. Never. For even Christ on the cross still did not blow up in a rage. There was one time, and you will recall, two times, when the Bible speaks of Christ being in a rage. When was it? The two times where you see a demonstration of righteous anger. When he came into the house of God, and the men were selling doves at extortionate prices and taking the poorest of people, people who traveled for miles perhaps, and they couldn't bring a sheep or a lamb with them. And so they came to the house of God, they came to the temple, and their goal was to come and give an offering to God for their sin, and they arrived at the temple with money. And they came to buy lambs or doves, whatever the case may be. And the men who were there were not men of God trying to enable people to follow God. No, they were businessmen. And they brought the people in and they charged crazy prices for sheep and goats and doves and whatever the case may be. And the Lord came into the house and they overturned the tables of the money changers, quoting from the Old Testament, "You've made my house a den of thieves, but it's a house of prayer." You can see there the motivation was good. And the result was not by any means far too harsh. That's what they deserved for their money. The things that they held so dear to be overturned and spread and cast away. And nobody
could point the finger at Christ and say that was wrong or too harsh. Nobody could say that. It was needed. It was just. It was right. But the Bible goes to great lengths to emphasize the long-suffering nature of our God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Many texts. And I just found that interesting this morning when I was thinking about this, okay? So you have our God, and I'll show you a couple of verses in a minute or two that speak about God being long-suffering. Now you go through all the pagan gods of human history, and you're not going to find gods who are long-suffering. But men met gods who are powerful, who can give, you know, fertility of ground or the womb or your purse or whatever. They're here to make things benefit. Gods of war, gods of this, that, and the other thing. Is there a God out there of long suffering? Yet we could turn, I'll just read them to you for the sake of time. You could turn to Exodus 34, verse 6, a verse I often quote to you here. It says, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, and so on and so forth. And there's that reference right in the middle to God being long-suffering. That was an occasion where Moses, he wanted to learn more of God, and God drew alongside him, and God came and showed Moses, here's what I'm like. I am the Lord God, and I'm merciful, and I'm gracious, and I'm long-suffering. That's what God says about himself. That's how he reveals himself. So, you could then go on to Numbers 14:18. Again, I'll read it with you here. It says in Numbers 14:18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Now that text, this time, it's Moses speaking. And Moses is upon his knees in prayer, and he's calling upon God for help. And here's why he prays, because the Lord is long-suffering. Because, Lord, you deal with abrasive people like us. Lord, Israel is incredibly abrasive. How often do you read in the Old Testament about the people of Israel provoking God to anger, but God doesn't deal with them? For hundreds of years, they go on provoking God, grieving God, being abrasive. And the Lord was slow to deal with them. But he did deal with them. Because he's just, and he has to deal with all sin. Yet he's very long-suffering. And that's why, men and women, you're not in hell today. That's why Ulster is still above water. That's why this globe still turns at the perfect angle compared to the sun, so we're not burned up. It's because God is long-suffering with us. A long fuse, long-burning, long-tempered. I'm glad of that. Like I said, if I had an employer, I'd want him to be, well, long-suffering. If I had, well, if someone has a spouse, you'll want your spouse to be long-suffering. We have a God and he is long-suffering. I'm glad of that. How awful it would be to have a short-tempered God. Every time we mess up, it explodes. We read Psalm 86 in the verse 15. The psalmist now testifies to this. He says, yes, I have read it in the Bible that God says he's long-suffering. I have seen Moses or heard of Moses who prayed over the long-suffering nature of God. But the psalmist in Psalm 86 that we read, he testifies. He says, Lord, you are long-suffering, but thou, O Lord, art full of compassion, art gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. He says, I can testify to this. I'm saved, I'm delivered, I've broken God's law over and over again. I am abrasive, yet God is long-suffering with me. Isn't that true? If you're a believer today, you'll say that with absolute certainty. He is long-suffering. And I'm glad of that. So the Old Testament repeats that over and over and over again. What about the New Testament? Well, we're in Galatians, but if you turn with me back to the book of Romans. So we're not too far away. Romans. And the chapter 2, and look at verse 4. I'm showing you the beauty of long-suffering here. Something you want that's desirable. Romans 2, and the verse 4. He says here to the people, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Do you see that verse is saying? The verse is saying God is long-suffering. Are you despising that long-suffering? Do you think little of it? Do you think little of the fact that every day you break God's law? That you, truth be told, you are vile. You have not repented of sin. You continue to spit in God's face. You continue to disobey. You continue to reject his offer of salvation. You are incredibly abrasive to God. Yet you're still alive. That verse is talking about you. You despise the long-suffering of God. And why is God long-suffering with you? We'll read the end of the verse. Verse 4. Knowing that the goodness of God, this long-suffering goodness of God, leadeth thee to repentance. The Lord is sparing you to give you opportunity to repent. If you don't, you will be in hell. And I believe that in hell, you might give off and complain and gnash your teeth and wail, but you'll know full well you deserve it. You deserve it. The Lord's long-suffering today with his all men and women. Can I take you furthermore to 1 Peter chapter 3? 1 Peter chapter 3. And you have these clear declarations again. 1 Peter 3:20. Look what it says. Which sometimes were disobedient. Verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. Now, just let me explain that. The verse says there that God was long-suffering in the days of Noah. What does that mean? While he was preparing the ark. Well, it took Noah, if my memory serves me right, wasn't it 400 years? 400 years to build the ark? And God waited all that time. God never sent the flood. He didn't send judgment. He didn't wipe out the human race. No, he was long-suffering and he waited until the ark was built. And those who wanted to come in could come in. He didn't judge before then. That's long-suffering. He could, and he had the ability to deal with the provocative man that he was dealing with, but he didn't. He was gracious and long-suffering. Can I take you into 2 Peter? We're in 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 15. It says here in verse 15, and account that the long-suffering of God, of our Lord, is salvation. And it says here, long-suffering is salvation. It's defining salvation as being long-suffering. God waits and waits and waits to give you opportunity to be saved. And that's why anybody's saved, because God waits and gives time and opportunity to call. Let's go to 1 Timothy now. So just go back a few books in your Bible, 1 Timothy. I've showed you something of how beautiful it is. I trust you've seen that. I've showed you it in Christ. I've showed it to you in God himself and in his dealings toward you and me. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 16, because now the game is changing here. The ball's put in the or court, as it were. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, now note this, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to live to life everlasting. Now what that verse is saying is, Jesus Christ is our pattern. He showed us how to live. This is how you conduct yourself with man. Not with a short temper, but being long-tempered. The men and women, we are called to be like Christ. And that's what I long for myself. That's what I long for you. That we would be like Christ. We ought to be long-tempered, long-suffering. Why? Because he was long-suffering to you and me. What if God treated me the way I treat other people? It's a scary thought, isn't it? I'm glad that God is much more long-suffering and patient than I am. short-tempered is not something to be proud of. It's an embarrassing thing. Stay with me in your Bibles and turn back again to the book of Colossians. So we're just in before Timothy, Thessalonians, Colossians, in the chapter 1, Colossians 1. And the verse 10, Colossians 1:10, here we're exhorted to be long-suffering, that ye might walk worthy. You see that? Walking worthy. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Being a Christian, you are a Christian, let's live like a Christian. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, of your salvation, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Here's what it means to be fruitful. Increasing in knowledge of God for sure. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Unto all patience and long suffering and joyfulness. Are you seeing the fruit of the Spirit there? We're exhorted to develop these. And increase in our long suffering. That's God's will for you, believer. So pray it. Oh Lord, I know it's your will for me to be less short-tempered and more long-tempered. Lord, help me to do it. Help me to hate this. Help me to see it as sin, which is embarrassing. There's plenty more verses we could go to. Can I take you to Proverbs? That'll suffice. Proverbs 14. I think these are encouraging verses. Proverbs 14, in the verse 29. Remember what I said, that a short temper is a sign of foolishness. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath, long-tempered, long-fuse, long burning, okay? He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit, short fuse, short tempered, exalteth folly. And what that means is he's the perfect demonstration of what foolishness is. That's God saying that now, not me. Now, if you've boasted before on how short your temper is, I'm sorry, but God says you're a fool. And you're living like a fool. And I want you to just get this stage this morning where we're not making excuses for this. We accept it. This is sin. I want to be long-suffering. I want to be a better man for God. Proverbs 16 and the verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Do you see that? You might give, historically, we might give a lot of acclaim and remembrance to great victorious men in battle. Everybody knows who Alexander the Great was, but God says, the man who controls his spirit, the man who subdues his temper, far better than a conqueror. Long-suffering men and women is a beautiful and powerful quality to have. The ability to control your passions, even when foolish people provoke you, you stay calm. It's the kind of friend you want to have with you all time, isn't it? That's the kind of people that God wants his church to be made up of. And so in closing, can I show you now the brutality of a short temper? We thought about the beauty of a long temper. What about the brutality of a short temper? You know, the evolutionists, now I'm not an evolutionist, you know that, I hardly state that, but just in case, the evolutionists speak of a base instinct. And what they mean by that is like it's like a subconscious urge in every human being. It's a behavior, it's a primeval behavior, it's an animalistic behavior, such as greed, selfishness, and temper. The evolutionist calls them our animalistic instincts. Now, if we just change the terminology a little bit, we might get a little bit nearer truth. Rather than calling it a base instinct or an animalistic instinct, let's call it what it is, the human flesh. Without the Spirit of God working. And the flesh, men and women, is always disposed or driven to things like greed and selfishness and a short temper. It's when you behave more like a fleshly creature of the field, a beast of the land, rather than living like God. Now, we're made to be image bearers. We're made to be like Christ. But sometimes our behavior is more like animals than it is like God. That's when your temper blows. That's nothing to boast in. That's something to be ashamed of and pray, oh God, you forgive me for this. We're in Proverbs. Will you go with me to Proverbs 15:18? Proverbs 15:18. It says here, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. That's Proverbs 15:18. And you can see straight away, that's a sensible way to behave. You see, if you're angry all the time, and you're ready to fight at every occasion that comes to your way, you will always stir strife. No matter where you are, if there's a group of people you come into, and you've got a short temper, most likely, if there's going to be strife, you'll be the one that causes it. It's not the way we ought to be, but a long-suffering individual who is wise, instead of provoking wrath, instead of stirring up strife, will seek to appease these things and bring about a calmness and a peacefulness and to live before God and men sensibly. Not like a beast, not like an animal, but like God. Proverbs 29 and 11. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterward. And that, believe it or not, is speaking about a short temper again there. A fool uttereth all his mind. I'll not let anybody step on my toes. I'll give them a piece of my mind. That's what it means. A wise man will hold his tongue. He'll be long-suffering. He'll take it away, and in light of his love for God and his love for men, in light of the fact that he has joy that nobody can take away, in the light that he has peace with God, he's at peace with himself, he's at peace with his fellow man, he'll take that situation away. And truth be told, whatever the offense was, it'll dwindle into insignificance. That's a long-suffering man. I want to be like that. I want to be that kind of husband, that kind of father, that kind of minister, that kind of servant for God. And I'll be the first one to readily say I find this difficult at times. It is easy just to go off the rocker. It is. But what I want you to do today is just to even join with me and accept it. We are short-tempered. Here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to sit here today and say, well, it's just the way I am. That's just the way I was born. That's what the sodomite says. It's sin. And whether it's sodomy or a bad temper, I'm not interested. It's sin and you need to deal with it. So let's accept it. This is the way we are and we struggle with it. And Lord, I want the victory. I don't want to live like an animal. I want to live like God. I want to be an image bearer. I want to be a good, godly individual who is like Christ. Perhaps we can just finish then by thinking again about our Savior. The one who covers our sins. Isn't that right? We sin against God. And instead of God on every occasion whipping us because of every fault, we read in 1 John that by his blood he covers. And he washes away all our sins. That's the kind of God we have. Because he's a God of love and a God of mercy and a God who is long-suffering and kind. He's the one who, when hanging on the cross, like I said to you earlier, he's the one who said, Father, forgive them. He's more ready to forgive than he is to pour out of his wrath and anger. That's my Christ. That's my Savior. That's who you and I want to be like if you're saved. But maybe this morning you don't really care. You just want to revel in your flesh and do whatever appeals to you. I tell you, you're acting like a fool and you're acting like an animal. And you will stand before God and be held to account for all of your behavior. Perhaps I can go to my opening statement. Being short-tempered is not anything to be proud of or boast in. It's a shameful thing. It's embarrassing. And I hope from here on in, we will be ashamed of ourselves, even the very thought of bursting into passion, whether it's anger or whatever. May God help us to be full of the fruit of the Spirit and to cultivate every one of them.